Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. I want you guys to read that along with me as we read one more time. Let's read. For no one of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And then just turn over two books to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. Simple statement with a lot of meaning. A simple statement with a lot of meaning. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven is yeast. And when you put yeast inside of bread, it rises. You can put just a little bit of yeast in a whole lot of bread, and the bread that did not have any yeast in it will end up with yeast in it. Pastor, where are you going? I'm going to talk to you this morning in this last service of the decade on a subject that will empower you to understand the importance and the relevance of decisions and the effectiveness of decisions you make. I'm going to title this message, The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't want another message. We want a word. We want tools. We want equipment. And we want our understanding to connect with what revelation you have in the Word. We have to know that things that we do matter. We are not robots. We're not machines. We are special people with a calling upon us. The devil loves to minimize our own significance and importance. And he distracts us with issues in life to try to disconnect those things from the will of God. My prayer is that we would understand that everything in life is for God to use for his glory. And if we can understand that, it will allow us to be more than conquerors in this next decade. If we would understand that, we would not cower, we would pray. We would not falter, but we would go down in faith, and we would rejoice, and we would pray, and we would fast, and we would worship, because we would understand that every decision that happens to us, where we can be proactive in watching the hand of God operate in anything that goes on in our life. So teach us the value of the principles that I desire to convey to your people. But the message is not just for today. I'm praying this message will be something to take us in 2020 with power, with strength, with might, that we would leave educated and anointed to know that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, if you believe that, clap your hands right now.
Shout the voice of triumph. Hallelujah.
Come on and shout like you believe. You are going to have the greatest year of your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there's excitement in the house of God this morning. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In this last message of 2019, last service of our decade, there is something I want to present to this church that I believe will be so foundational and transformational in our thinking as we enter into yet another year. Brother Wheeler, how old are you? 81. Yet another year. Let's give God praise. Praise God for Brother Wheeler. Brother Wheeler, if this message is for anybody, I'm going to say right now the message is for you. Because you've had many years and you've seen many things. And you've been in church many years of your life. And that is the thing. I don't believe that any of us want to enter into yet another year without a new sense of purpose. Without a new sense of a destiny that God is trying to take me on in this road of life. Without a sense, a new sense of wanting and anticipating that this next year is going to be a year better than any previous year of my life. Why do I or anybody want to go to a new year with a year that was worse than any other year they had before? I'm coming here to say with all of my heart, this next year will be the best year of my life. This next year will be the hand of God working in miraculous ways. Is there anybody that can agree with me and say, I want 2020 to be a year of plenty. I want it to be a year of growth. I want it to be a year of revival. I want it to be a year of blessings. I want it to be a year of strength. I want it to be a year of empowerment. I don't mind shouting it out loud. 2020 can be a year of sufficiency. Can be a year of multiplication. It can be a year of increase, of double favor, double anointing, double progress. I believe that my mind is going to grow like never before. God is going to blow my mind this year. I believe with all of my heart. It's going to be a year of maturing. I don't want to be a baby Christian. I want to be an advancing Christian. I want to be able to chew on steak. I want my vision to happen. I want my revelation to get deeper. Is there anybody here that wants to go a little bit deeper in the things of God? Is there anybody here that wants to say, I am growing like never before. I am maturing like never before. A year of developing. I want to see my spiritual muscles bust out of my shirt. Woo! I want to walk up and down the streets and speak to people's lives. I want the gifts of the Spirit to operate. I want to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want to pray for the backsliders to come back home. I want to know that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. I want to praise God and see the glory of God come down. I want to worship in spirit and in truth. I want to dance like David dance. I want to sing. I want to shout. And I want to rejoice like never before. Do I have a witness in this house that was the greatest revival you've ever seen in your life? I want it to be a year of clarity. I don't want to walk around in no man's land in circles. I want to be spiritually mature. I want to develop spiritually more. And I want a sense of clarity. Maybe you've been walking in your Christian walk and it feels like you're walking blindly. I want to tell you what God put in my spirit, that 2020 will be a year of clarity. You will have more understanding. And areas you don't understand, you're going to recognize things you do understand will help you know that in this area, I can walk by faith and not by sight, which means my understanding is going to grow. But even in my limited understanding, it won't limit my praise. It won't limit my worship, because I have an understanding that all things are working together for the good that love God, to them are the called according to Him. I don't know about you. I'm excited about 2020. A year of clarity in the context that God is going to, as I consecrate myself continuously to Him, it will be a year I truly hear the voice of God. What do you mean by that? Are we going to all hear audible voices of God? I don't know. I don't hear from God in an audible form. But what I do know is when Samuel got in the right place and Samuel chose to be in the house of God, he heard from God. He didn't hear from God in his home. He heard from God in the house of God. How many said, I want revelation? You're going to hear revelation in the house of God. I want you to prepare your ears and your minds and your hearts that every time you walk in the house of God, God is saying, I'm going to give you deeper revelation. It's not going to be church as usual, but there will be some things in the spiritual realm that you are not going to catch in the natural. But in the spiritual realm, your spiritual antennas are going to tap into what thus saith the Lord. And in areas of your issues and your struggles, I promise you right now in the Holy Ghost, you are not going to walk around without clarity. But the revelation of the Word of God that you say, I choose to hear when I'm in the house of God, you want to hear Him like you never heard of Him before. You are going to hear me shout like I always do, but next year you're going to hear a little bit more clearly and succinctly for your own personal life. Are you ready to go and hear God like you've never heard Him before? I want to tell you, God is going to give you clarity of mind and of heart in the Word of the Lord. A year where you will know again that you are highly favored. A year that you know, hear me right now, that what you do for Christ is not in vain. You are going to understand that you will have a higher level of expectation of that God is ordering your steps. There will be storms, but the storms that the disciples were in was because Jesus told them to go and cross over to the other side. So now when you find yourself in a storm, you're going to wipe your face and say, God is about to show me Himself like I never saw Him before. I didn't know up to this point that He could say, peace be still, and all the winds and the waves are silent. Some of you are going to go through some headaches this year. I can't promise you an easy road. I can't promise you that everything will go the way you want them to go. But what can I promise you this is that God is ordering your steps, and that God is going to speak things into your life where you had no control over. I'm prophesying these things right now in the atmosphere, and I want you to get ready that when your storm comes, there is one who walks on storms. There is one who speaks to storms. And I want you to know when you go through your battles and your issues, that there's someone that is walking on top of them. So I'm readying myself that the best is yet to come. And I'm going to say, speak, Lord, like Samuel, for your servant is listening. So he's listening for what? For guidance. He's listening for what? Instruction. He's listening to say, God, what is the prophetic word for the hour that I'm in? But he was doing it in expectation. expectation. I love some of you, and don't take it wrong, that sit on the edge of your seat as the word is going forward. It is a visible sign of what's going on the inside of your spirit that says, I'm looking to hear what thus saith the Lord, so that when I leave the house of God, I'm going out there empowered with some equipment to say, I don't care what has been going against me, I've been empowered with a word. You better make up in your mind that you leave these services empowered. You're leaving these services with tools and equipment to fight every devil. And devil, let me tell you right now, in a minute, you've already lost the battle, because when people mix the word of God with faith and begin to apply the word, there is no devil in hell that's going to stop you from being all that God called you to be. I'm so excited that there's men and women that say, I'm grabbing a hold of the word like never before. And devil, I tell you, because the word, you are under my feet. You are under my feet. Sovereign God. I believe a sovereign God. I believe a God is in control. I believe there's a God in control beyond the areas that I am not in control. You got things you're not in control of. Let me tell you, he's still God. You got things you can't fix. Let me tell you, he's still God. There's some things you're worried about that you can't take care of. I tell you, he's still God, and he's still on the throne, and he's still going to make ways where there is no ways. He is just looking for somebody. Do you believe in my power? Do you believe in my anointing? Do you believe it for yourself? Do you know that I can guide you into my will? Consider where you are. Consider your challenges. Consider your struggles. Consider the reality of your strengths. Consider your desires. Consider your goals. And prepare to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Consider where you are. Consider your challenges. Consider your struggles. Consider your strengths. Consider your desires and your goals and your aspirations, and prepare your hearts to hear the voice of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, while it is said today, day, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Imagine them now like going into a new year, because they have crossed out of Egypt and into and from the Red Sea, and they're headed towards the promised land. So absolutely there's great expectation and excitement about where God is about to take them. The problem is everyone did not able to go over to the other side. So I'm excited about 2020. I'm excited about what God has promised us. But the Bible lets me know in the New Testament, not all passed over. Am I trying to put fear in someone? No. I'm trying to give you the reality that God's promises are only yea and amen to those that believe it. Those that don't believe it don't get the blessings that I'm talking about. Those that don't apply it and that don't walk in it are not going to go. And it was not Moses' fault that the majority did not get in. It will not be the administrative team's fault or the pastoral team's fault if you don't get what I'm preaching about. But if there are some Joshuas, but if there are some Calebs in this place that say, I believe in the word of the Lord, and I'm going to cross over the other side, and I'm going to walk towards the promises of God. If you are a Joshua or a Caleb, clap your hands and say, I am going to walk in the promises of God. Most died in the wilderness because they heard what God was going to do, but they cannot believe God's process. I hear you, Moses, but we're thirsty out here. We're hungry out here. We're tired out here. We're longing for the garlic and the cucumbers of the past. Or we see the promised land, but we also see the walled cities that come along with the promised land. We see the grapes, the milk, and the honey, but we also see the giants that are in the land. Anybody got any giants in your land? Any walled cities in your lands? And you're looking at that, and it wants to put temptation that God won't help you. And so what I'm telling you, as you prepare for 2020, you got to believe that the decisions you make mean more than what you think they mean, and that every step you walk in faith is a door you are unlocking in the spiritual realm. And that's why I am presenting you this message to everyone in this church, that will hear what is termed the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect is a term coined as a result of teachings from Edward Lorenz. He was a scientific mathematician and meteorologist of chaos theory. He studied chaos and patterns that go along with chaos. In physics, it describes how tiny, minute, seemingly insignificant changes in initial conditions, such something as small as one little flap from a butterfly's wing, can affect weather thousands of miles away. It is saying that even the smallest adjustments in the environment can cause radical results. I love how that sounds. That even the smallest minute changes can make radical changes. Hatala Mahaya. I think some of you already hear where I'm going, and so I'll put it in my best layman's terms and put it in scriptural terms. You might be thinking that you have too many challenges. You might be thinking you have too many things going on that cannot change the course or trajectory of where they are headed. You feel that too many things are just so overwhelming. Too many things cannot be different, and they have too far gone, and it's too late. You might be thinking that little changes that you're making aren't going to make a difference, but the devil is a liar. The little decisions you make towards faith and towards the power and the will of God, you might not think they don't make a difference, but I'm going to show you that everything you do towards the things of God is going to make a significant difference and will change the choice and the trajectory of your future. Every big thing you think is big, every small thing you think is small, will make a large difference in the kingdom of God. Small things, people say, don't matter. Small things I'm doing aren't going to matter. The things that I've changed aren't going to make a difference that much. What little things I prepare to do better doesn't seem like it's changing the big problems that I have. They're still looking around me. I tell you, no. I tell you, the butterfly effect says, on the contrary, if you wrap your mind around that, believing the little things that you do matter, you're going to see huge, significant, positive changes in your life next year. The little things you think you do that are insignificant, I'm going to tell you, they're huge. That little time you spend opening up your mouth in prayer, that little time you start those devotions, those times you come to church one more time, the sacrifice you make, the positivity you have in your mind, I'm telling you, it's making a huge difference. Zechariah 4:10 says, for who hath despised the day of small things? It may look insignificant, but let me tell you, there's some great things that the eyes of the Lord are beholding. There are small things that you got to know that your God will not take for granted. There are small things that God is is storing up in a bottle. And let me tell you, God has a plan, and it's time for somebody to flap your spiritual wings and say, the little things I do matter, and it will change the trajectory and the course of my destiny. I believe that my destiny is going to be changed even by the little decisions that I make. That one decision to tell the truth, that one decision to do what God told me to do. Nobody might see it, nobody might feel the effects of it, but you don't know what God knows, and God will take your small, seemingly insignificant thing and do something great out of it. I'm going to show you the power of the Word of God. And the key is, it might look small, but it's not insignificant. Joseph may have thought it a small thing not to lie with Potiphar's wife and keep his integrity and not sin against God. But that unlocked a chain of events that led him to going to prison, then going to the palace, implementing a plan that would save a nation from starvation, which led to his brothers to come and receive food there as well, which led to him revealing himself to them that he was the brother that betrayed them, which led them all to move to Egypt with themselves and their kids and with the patriarch Jacob, which led to them eventually becoming slaves, which turned and allowed them now to become an actual nation and an actual people formed to be there and to grow. And from there, Moses is born and brings deliverance to a people, and God's mighty hand is now shown to a world because of it. And then Jericho is fearful and is destroyed. The Israelites take over the land of Canaan. Judges are raised up. Then Samuel is presented through the prayers of Hannah, and Samuel hears from God to eventually move out of the way to anoint King Saul, who, because he falls, praise God, God decides to find a man after his own heart. And so in the background of what someone else is doing, what seems so insignificant, here we are with King David. Through the decision that Joseph made when nobody was watching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, here's David watching the sheep. Very insignificant. And he may have thought at that moment a small thing to kill the lion, to kill the bear, to protect one little sheep from his father's fold. But then that led him to be able to have the courage to fight and kill Goliath, which gave him now an opportunity to become the king's armor bearer, which then led him to win and fight more battles, which led him to have the king become jealous of him, which led him to be a fugitive, which led others to come now and follow him, which led them to becoming David's mighty men, which led David to have his own army, which led David to use his own army to defeat the opposition, which ultimately led to David becoming king of all Israel, which led to a prophecy being made that from your seed, David, the Messiah would come. One decision was a butterfly effect that prepared the way of the Messiah. What am I preaching? That someone in this room could believe that what you do matters. That's what I'm preaching. That what you do matters. How you believe matters. What you say matters. That it has more effectiveness than what you think. You being present matters more than you think. That the principle of the butterfly effect is something that can motivate you to trust God to shift things in the right direction if you simply understand that the decisions and the choices you are going to make this next year, they matter, every one of them. Jesus said, greater works will you do. Not all mindsets are created equal. But if there are people that want to see things advance, see things get better, be effective in the kingdom of God, be influential in our church, in our community, and in our families, to see us get in our right niche and be in the right surroundings and our environment get better, we have to understand the butterfly effect and start flapping our wings. What decision you and I make will affect so many others' futures tomorrow. Choices that I make are going to affect others. Adam in the garden made one decision, and because his decision, the butterfly effect was put into operation concerning chaos and sin. All kinds of problems that we deal with right now on earth is a result of one man's flap. Sickness. And many here are not here because of sickness. Many people in this room, your family members are suffering chronic issues because of this issue. Death, disease, works of the flesh because what Adam did. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there's a word of hope to you this morning. That was the butterfly effect of Adam, but God also put into something into motion as well. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. John 11:47 says, then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miracles and signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that time, said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it is better for you that one man should die for the people than the whole nation to be destroyed. Caiaphas ordered Jesus to be crucified. He made a decision. He flapped his wings, but what he did not know is that he put into motion that yes, by one man's sin, death came by all. But at the same time, because of what Jesus did, by one man's death, all can be forgiven. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by righteousness of one, or the obedience of one, shall many be made. So not only did Adam flap his wings, Jesus also flapped his wings, and he went to a cross. And now today, because he flapped his wings, there is freedom in this house this morning, and faith is in the house this morning, and power is in the house this morning, and hope of a great future is in the house this morning. We all have a great expectation, because what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Because of the mistake of Caiaphas and what he thought he put into motion, Jesus Christ went to a cross and hung and died, but he got up again with all power in his hands. So now there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God and the will of God. So flap your wings this morning, get ready for a great promise this morning, because God's will is going to be done. Your prayer life is you flapping your wings. You're setting some things in motion. When you begin to get on your knees and call on God in prayer, let me tell you, there's a chain reaction that's going to happen in the spiritual world that you're going to understand will blow your mind. Is there anybody who say, I'm going to pray like never before, because now I know that my prayers avail much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You being faithful matters. You being committed matters. You being dedicated and consecrated is you flapping your wings. Is there anybody saying it to the I'm going to flap my wings like I never have before. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be intentional in the word of God. I will speak the word of faith. I will resist and flee from temptation. All of those decisions are me flapping my wings for a better future for my life. I am flapping my wings for the health of my church, the health of my family, the health. I am new something about the world that I live in. I want you to stand. You matter. Second Kings 7:3. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit here until we die? Why am I going to keep being bullied another year? Why am I going to keep being fretful another year? Why am I going to keep on being sick another year? Frustrated another year, down and out another year, in poverty another year, messed up another year." No, they said, "I'm not sitting here no more, anymore. I'm not sitting here anymore. I love the Spirit." Now understand, they were leprous. They had the perfect excuse to sit there and die. We talked about excuses last week, didn't we? We're trying to throw excuses out in the way. Here are leprous, dying men that said, "I don't care how sick I am going to fight. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die fighting." Come on, somebody, get something in your hearts. If I'm going down, I'm going down with the fight. Why am I going to sit here until I die? I'm going to flap my wings. My family shall be different through me flapping my wings. My future will be different by me doing something. I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do whatever I can. I will allow the butterfly effect to go forward in my life. They weighed their options. Hear me. Weigh out your options. What benefit is it if you stay the same way next year? Weigh it out. If you sit here, weigh it out. And they said, "You know what? Being ordinary, making no adjustments, we'll die in that position. But you know what? Let's take a risk. Let's do something that may not make sense in somebody else's mind. Let me step out in faith, so to speak, and do what I've never done before. This is a year to step out and do something you've never done before. But watch God show up. Because before they ever got there, God was already working. But when you flap your wings, let me tell you, you don't know what's going on the other side. God had already sent his angels. There's some angels that are ready to be dispatched. When they start seeing you flap your wings the way they flap their wings, they're saying, "Get in agreement with us. Let's flap our wings together and watch God show up and show out." Last thing. Get some music ready. I had to underline it. I never saw it before. 2 Kings 7:5. They rose up in the twilight. Let me wait till the sun's all the way up. Let me wait till all the clouds are moved out in the way, the perfect day, the perfect situation. Then we'll get up and we'll do something. They said, no. We're going to go in the darkest. Some of you are going through the darkest times of your life. It's the perfect time to watch God do a miracle. Oh, for the Holy Ghost. You're going through some hard times. You got some true trouble. But this is the hour. This is the time to flap your wings. This is your moment to say, "I'm going to get up anyway. I don't care how dark my problem is. I don't care how dark the night is. I'm going to arise. I'm getting up and I'm going to the enemy's camp." I want I'm going to raise your hands right now and say, "In Jesus' name, I am flapping my wings. I am going to make decisions. I'm effective. I matter. I matter. And the decisions I make do matter. I'm going to believe and pray that, oh God, my prayers mean something." Just Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. What I do matter. My decisions matter. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I want us as a church body in the last service of this year. I want all of us to come down right now
And I want you to stand in this altar. I don't want you to sit. I want you to stand. I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening to your will. I'm listening to your strategies. And I will do something. I will do something. I will flap my wings in prayer. I will flap my wings in commitment and dedication. And it might be dark, but God, you are going to speak words of life. You will give me hope and direction. You will give me guidance. I believe that you will direct my steps. I believe you're going to order me, God. I'm not walking by myself, but I am walking. I am believing that you keep your hands raised and say, Lord, I'm flapping my wings today. And I speak a word upon our church. I speak a word upon our families. I speak a word over them, oh God, that decisions that they make and, oh God, choices that they have will make a great difference for their future. Their consecrations matter. Their givings matter. Their prayers matter. Their worship matters. Their sacrifice matters. It will make all the difference for their future. One step at a time. One decision at a time. One choice at a time. It will make a difference. It's not in vain. Keep on pushing. It matters. Keep on praying. It matters. Keep on being faithful. It matters. Keep on consecrating. It matters. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. I say God's going to help you. I say God's going to direct your steps. I tell you, God loves you. He's working something out for you. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your trust in him. Keep your hope in him. A hurricane's coming. A hurricane is coming. A hurricane is coming to Lighthouse Church. A hurricane is coming to your home. A hurricane is going to happen to your marriage. A hurricane in your health. A hurricane in your mindset. Every decision matters. Oh yes, I don't know about that. Blessings, honor, and glory, oh God. God's will is going to be done. I believe God's will is going to be done. God's door is going to be open. There's some blessings that God prepared for your life. He's ordering our steps. That's it. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I grab a hold of it. I grab a hold of the word. I make a decision. I make a choice. I'm conscious, oh God. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint me, God. One decision will make a difference. It might seem small. It might seem insignificant. But a hurricane is brewing. Spirit, I'm trusting in you, Jesus. God, I'm going to doubters. Lord, I got things I cannot fix. But Lord, I'm trusting in you, Jesus. One day at a time. One prayer at a time. One decision at a time. But Lord, you will send your angels. Help me, oh God, what I believe. Help me, oh God, to trust in you anyway. You are more than able, God, to work it out. That's it, it's all. Pour yourself out. 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 Your choices will make a difference. It's going to make a difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can't sit here and die. We're gonna live.